Welcome to episode 245 of the Ben Briggs podcast. I am Ben Briggs. It is it's Saturday, people. Where it's let's get honest with you. It is it's Sunday, people, but it is Saturday's episode. So it is Sunday, the 4th of December, 2022, but this is the episode for Saturday, the 3rd of December, 2022. That is because he says spitting all over the microphone. It is, at the moment, I ought to be keeping my voice down because it is 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. I got back from a gig late last night. I thought I'd be able to record it on the Saturday. He says, rubbing his armpit there. And I got back late due to various factors, including traffic jams and nightmare traffic situations. Pretty much the same sort of thing, isn't it? You know. Pretty much the same sort of thing. So so I got back late. I decided out of dedication to actually stay up late and do this. So it's about 3 o'clock in the morning at the moment. Although it doesn't look it at the moment because my lighting situation that I've sorted out. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you're not gonna reap the benefits of that. But you can watch me on YouTube do this and go, it is light there. Anyway, I was in this evening. I was in Hull, of all places. There's a lovely club up there, the Comedy Lounge, and it was a fucking hell of a drive to get up there, hell of a drive to get back. But it's always quite worth it. Tonight, it was all right, to be honest. It's silly season is starting, people, innit? Here in the comedy industry, when you're gigging around Christmas time, you start getting all of the Christmas parties coming along and all the work dues. So that season has started now. I imagine after tonight, anyway. But there was a few Christmas parties out there. So it's just getting to that. Getting to that stage at Christmas time where works do start going out. And that kind of changes the whole sort of like dynamics of a comedy gig, because you've got somebody who's had the idea to go to a comedy club for the Christmas do, right? And then everybody else, there might be a few enthusiastic people, but then everybody else is fucking dragged along to that. And they have to sit there and fucking enjoy it. And all you want to do, it's like anything. If you're on a stag do or a hen do or a works do, all you want to do is go out and get fucking hammered and think about banging somebody at work. That's what you want to do, isn't it? Hen do's and stag do's, all you want to do is have a bit of a laugh with your mates and get hammered. Nobody really wants to sit there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours at a comedy show, silent, just laughing when you find something funny. I always find that a little bit odd. But Christmas works dues, all you want to do is get trashed and bang somebody from work. that's the, unless you're happily married, obviously. And then it's a little bit different, but Christmas works do, but and the atmosphere is a little bit different because nobody really wants to make a twat out of themselves that much. I know I've actually done material about that. People who there's always one person on a Christmas do who makes a complete tit out of themselves. Goes into work on Monday morning feeling a bit sheepish, or somebody who has too much to drink, or there's always a woman who ends up crying. That's a given, isn't it? On a works do. So it's a bit of a it changes the dynamics of a gig, because you've got about 20 people who all know each other. And nobody really wants to let themselves go that much unless they're, you know, got serious issues with alcohol. But yeah, in front of other people, people get a bit standoffish sometimes. So it can be a bit of a tough season. It seems to swing one way or the other, depending on what the work environment is you work in. More working class people will get fucking shit faced and not give a fuck about the work, dude. Not give a fuck about their job on Monday. Just walk in. And if you get a bit more middle class work do, they're going to take it a little bit easier, be a little bit more reserved. It was nice. It wasn't an absolute smasher I had tonight. I didn't fucking rip the roof off it or whatever, but got through it. It was a bit hard work at times, but I think it went all right. I think it went all right. Anyway, that's what we tell ourselves. You've got to keep grounded, don't you? Let's have a little bit of coffee here. So it was kind of nice and kind of fun. I saw a couple of acts I haven't seen for a while. So that was kind of nice. The one thing I will say, they've got two venues. The place I played in Hull is called the Comedy Lounge. That's downstairs. That's the venue downstairs. Then upstairs, you've got a separate venue, which is called the Stage Door. And they have like tribute acts on. I've been there before. They've had like the Madonna tribute act on while we're doing stand up downstairs. Or they've had, Adele tributes, Tina Turner, all that sort of thing. Last night was Michael Jackson. Holy fucking shit, back from the dead. Michael Jackson tribute, just a guy in a coffin. No. That'd be fucking hilarious, wouldn't it? Just a guy in a coffin, or, a father and son team up, just him staring at his son's asshole. I don't know. I don't know if those rumours are true. I watched the documentary like the rest of you. Yeah. I don't know if they're true. I'm going to have some more of this coffee, sorry. Trying to stay awake here, people. So they had a Michael Jackson tribute. But apparently the initial Michael Jackson tribute cancelled for spurious reasons. So I imagine he was, we were all in the green room going, yeah, it's going to be either more money or same money closer to home. That's why he cancelled. By the way, just to let you know, they earn a fucking fortune. I didn't realise this. That if you're a tribute act or one of these lookalikes that they do for celebrities at parties and things like that, they earn a fucking fortune. It's a shame there isn't anyone who looks like. Who I look like, I'd be bang on that, man. But you can't just walk around a party saying, I'm the lookalike for Tom Hanks from Philadelphia. Johnny Rotten, if he got some sort of muscle wasting disease. I didn't realise how much they get paid. Somebody was saying, like, some of the stories said that they've done nights before with these tribute acts, and the way it worked out or something, that she was booked or double booked, or like I think she lost a voice or something, I don't know, it was something like that, but the woman ended up, she got dressed up in she was meant to be Shirley Bassey or something, and I think she lost her voice. I think that's what happened. And she was a white woman, first of all. Being Shirley Bassey, she was a white woman. And essentially, she wasn't doing any singing or anything like that. She was essentially just walking around this party, being extra nice to people in a ball gown. That was it. She was just meeting and greeting. She was getting paid £300 a night or something like that just to be a Shirley Bassey lookalike. Firstly, she was the wrong race. And secondly, she was just a white woman walking around a party in a ball gown, greeting people. And at the end of the night went, yeah, that'll be 300 quid then. Hey, it's good business if you can get it, baby. Let's have a little bit more coffee. So anyway, me and Sam, the MC, after the first section, I was opening last night. So we had a bit of time in the break. The break seemed to last for ages. So we thought, fuck it, we'll go upstairs and have a look and see what this Michael Jackson tribute act was like. And to be fair to him, he was only a young lad. He's only like 17. And the guy who runs the Comedy Lounge, Paul, who's really lovely, was telling us how he booked him and that sort of thing. I said, this guy's going to be great and stuff. We went up to see him, and I didn't really know what to expect because I've never been to a tribute act. I've once years ago, I gigged with a tribute act, who was a rather rotund guy, who looked vaguely like Robbie Williams, right? You know when Robbie Williams went through the chunky stage? Let's not say fat people, because he was never sort of like super fat, Robbie Williams. But he put on a few pounds, didn't he? Back in, it was probably the late 90s when he was trying to hang out with Oasis. I think it was just after he left. He appeared on EastEnders. The next minute, he's hanging around with Oasis at Glastonbury. And he'd put on a few pounds. He wasn't quite, this guy who was the tribute act wasn't, he was kind of worse than that. You know what I mean? He was like, well, it's all in the name. I don't know if he's still going, but he had the best tribute name for an act who's a fat version of a celebrity. His name was Blobby Williams, which you know, it's out there. If you're a fat guy, you look a little bit like Robbie Williams. You want to do a tribute act to him, sing some of his songs, get on the end of Angels, start singing that fucker. Blobby Williams is the way to go. But I didn't actually see him that night, so that's when I gigged with him. But God knows if he's still going. I ought to Google that to see if he's actually still going. I don't know why that came up. Let's have a look, see if he's still going. Blobby Williams. Oh, fucking hell. Why is that not working? Here we go. Oh, I don't know. I think I've switched off all the internet again. You've done it again, have you, Ben? Yeah, I have. Actually, I might be able to do it on my phone. Not that it matters, but... yeah, I just hope he is. And he's teamed up with, like, he's probably teamed up with the real Gary Barlow. dear. But anyway, this guy, this young lad, he was only about 17. I think he'd come with his parents. His parents would have to be with him because it's a nightclub and he's not allowed in and stuff like that. But he's going to be the next big thing. He's going to be the next big Michael Jackson impersonator. The only problem is, let's have coffee. The only problem was that he doesn't actually sing. So he like lip syncs to backing tracks. He basically, not even backing tracks, he lip syncs to the actual song. So we get up there, we go up the stairs. There's round tables set out and people are just like sitting like they're at a fucking wedding or something. Nobody's up dancing at this point. I don't know when it started. I don't know how long he'd done. But he was just finishing a song. Well, he was, you know, lip syncing stroke miming to this song. And you know when you see those old Japanese stroke Chinese films that have been badly dubbed. That's basically what it would look like, right? From where we were sitting, we sort of like snaked in the back and just had a little look from the back. And, you know, the hee-hee-hee, that sort of thing. He wasn't lip-syncing those bits. He was just doing the words. So I don't know whether that's, you know, whether he didn't know not to do, he didn't know to do that, or he just didn't want to do that, or just thought that was, you know, part of the music or whatever. But he definitely wasn't doing the hee hee, that sort of thing. That's the trademark. You've got to have a good hee hee if you're doing a Michael Jackson, aren't you? Plus the fact, I'm not sure whether, apparently he's Scottish, so if he's got heavy, you can see why he's not singing if he's got a heavy Glaswegian accent or something like that. You know, that would, Billie Jean is not my lassie, would be, I don't know. But as far as we could make out, he seemed to finish a song, go back, run off stage, go backstage, change his jacket, then come back on. I didn't see a moonwalk. I don't know whether he could moonwalk or not. That's one thing you got to nail the hee hee and nail the moonwalk if you're doing a Michael Jackson. To be honest, it was a bloody good impression of Michael Jackson now, because Michael Jackson ain't singing anymore either. Here we go. We're working. We're still working. Trying to keep my voice down. Ah, dear. But, yeah, so he was, I don't know. It's hard to say because he's only a 17-year-old lad. But it's a tough one to do. It's like we were saying backstage, like after we come down and that. Things like the drag queen, you know, lip sync thing or whatever, and lip sync battles and all that, those programs that are on TV, they have raised the bar in lip syncing. You know, years ago you'd be able to get away with like some sort of Bruce Lee dubbed over film sort of lip syncing, but now even the very breath that people take or whatever, they lip sync that shit as well, and it's unbelievable. But essentially he was a guy, I think he was white, I'm not sure. It's difficult to tell with the lighting in there. He looked quite like Michael Jackson, to be fair. He had all the jackets, he had the you know, the hair before it was caught on fire and shit like that. He had that. So that'd be very specific. I'd like to see that. A Michael Jackson tribute act specifically, I'm a tribute to Michael Jackson in that Pepsi commercial, and he just comes out with his hair on fire drinking a Pepsi. That's something I'd like to see. Anyway, let's finish this coffee. Get it out of the way. I'd pay money for that, definitely. Also today, people, for today, I'm going to have to finish this coffee. Sorry, people. I know. I'm going to have to get more professional with this. I know. But let's finish it and get it done. Right. I'm owed that. On the way home as well, I got McDonald's on the way home as well. So that just hangs there, doesn't it? McDonald's, it just fills a gap. You might as well be one of these models. What they used to do, eating tissue paper and shit like that, wasn't it? Like, to keep the weight down. That was in the 90s. Wouldn't get away with that now. Don't need to anymore, do you? All these plus-size models these days just gorging on whatever they want. They living off the back of those models in the 90s that were eating fucking tissue paper and shit like that to stay thin. It used to be hard work to be a model, didn't it? Now, anyone can do it, can't they? Anyway, we went off track there. I had a McDonald's on the way home. I'll tell you what I do like about McDonald's now. And this is not just because I hate talking to people at McDonald's or anywhere. I hate ordering anything. I love the fact that you can go to those self-service little screens, type in exactly what you want, and you can see the order moving down the line, can't you? You can see it moving down, other orders being completed, people are collecting them, and you can see your order come into fruition. All you have to do now, I fucking love the lack of interaction that you need at McDonald's these days. You can just go up, say, yeah, that's my order, thanks very much, and fuck off. You don't have to deal with anybody trying to sell you extra shit. I know on the screen or whatever, it always says, do you want to make a donation? Does anybody do that? Do you want to round this up to £13 or £15? Do you want to round it up and give this to charity? All right, stop guilt tripping me. I feel bad enough at the moment. The fact that I'm eating your shit food. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm eating, you know, I've pulled in to a services. I'm just about to order a fucking McDonald's at 1 o'clock in the morning. I already feel shit about my life. Not only am I a glutton and unhealthy and just filling my body with essentially poison, but now you're going to try and guilt trip me about not giving to charity as well. Why don't you give to charity? Why don't you round it up for me? You're the ones, I've seen that fucking film with Michael Keaton in it, yeah? I know what happened. I know you stole off of those brothers, yeah? Why don't you give them the fucking money to charity, yeah? Why don't you do that? Instead of guilt tripping me while I'm trying to force feed my shit into my own face. I don't know, I got a bit carried away there, people. Got a bit carried away. Anyway, I love that. I love the fact that I don't have to have any interaction with anybody. I would love them in every fucking restaurant that you go in, so you can just have a screen on the table, you order what you want, it tells you, you can see literally it being, you know, being prepared, like a Domino's thing. That's what every restaurant wants on the table. Just an iPad with being prepared. I don't know, you hear the microwave go off or whatever. You have no interaction whatsoever. They just put it on a conveyor belt and it comes to your table. You don't have any servers, no fucking waitress, no waitress staff, anything like that. Just sent out from the kitchen on a conveyor belt, go straight to your table, you leave a tip, and then you fuck off. You eat it, you leave a tip, you fuck off, you have no interaction whatsoever. Because I don't want to... The worst thing about going to McDonald's or any fast food restaurant is the fact that the kitchen's open. Because I don't want to see who is cooking my fucking food. Because that's me done. If they look like they haven't had a bath in 8 weeks, or they've got long hair and it's hanging down, or they've got dirty fingernails or anything, that's me done, man. That's me done. I might as well just, you know, thanks very much for the food. Throw it straight in the fucking bin. Cheers for that. I don't want to see anything in a kitchen of McDonald's. So I just want my food to come to me in a brown paper bag like I'm doing a fucking drug deal. And then just take it outside and eat it without any thought about how clean the actual staff were who worked there. I don't give a shit if they've been, you know, scratching their own asshole or, you know, wanking themselves silly just before they make my food. As long as I don't see that and I'm not aware of it, I don't give a shit, you know. People are filthy, aren't they? I just don't want to see that. And that's why I like the McDonald's thing. The only interaction I have, I focus on the person who's standing at the counter with my food. I focus on them. I have no peripheral vision when it comes to looking at the other staff in the kitchen, because I know if I clock one of them's there just like picking his nose. That's me done. That's me done. That food is going straight in the bin and I am going home hungry. Everywhere ought to have those screens. The least amount of contact that you can have with anybody who works in a shop is okay by me. Self-service tills at Tesco's, Sainsbury's, fucking love them, mate. I don't want any interaction. The only thing is they're not 100% work all the time, do they? And at some point, the weight, you know, it always comes up, doesn't it? Item not accepted or something like that. So you have to, you know, the red light comes on and then you have to wait for the person to stop their fucking conversation, no doubt with another colleague. They're talking about nothing. And then they dawdle over. And then they do the little scanny thing. They scan the little barcode, type in the little code, and they allow you to continue getting the fuck out of their store as quick as possible. That always happens to me, by the way, on those self-service checkouts. Always guaranteed. Guaranteed. Either a barcode won't scan, either it will say item has not been recognized or something like that. Guarantee every fucking time I go down there. But even though I have to wait, and even though I know that is going to happen every time, even though I know, I'd rather that situation than piling my stuff on a conveyor belt and having to make idle chit chat with somebody, you know, somebody sitting at a fucking checkout. I haven't been to a checkout for years. And I fucking love that, not having to make that idle chit-chat as they're going, you know, are you paying by card? Oh, you're busy today. Oh, these are nice. I remember going through a till years ago, and someone would start commenting on what food I'd bought. You feel like going, you know, do you just want to focus on your job in hand? Just find the barcode on everything and scan it across the scanner. That's it. I'll deal with the rest. I don't need a running commentary on everything I've just bought. You fucking bitch. Seems a bit harsh now I've said that. I put up the Christmas tree today. That's what I did yesterday, I mean. I put up the Christmas tree yesterday. I keep forgetting it's like fucking... Christmas has started here at Briggs Towers. It's a new tree as well. I bought a brand new tree this year. Basically I didn't have a tree. So I bought a brand new one, which was like 24 quid from B&Q. You can't beat that, can you? These people spending a fucking fortune on Christmas trees. 24 quid. It's green. It's 6 foot tall. It can hang lights and tinsel off it. That's all I need. It's the bare minimum that I've got here at Briggs Towers, sitting just over there. I fucking love a Christmas tree with the lights on at night. Very festive. I've done it on at the start of December as well. This is the earliest I've ever put up Christmas decorations because I don't want to be in that situation where you just get used to it. It's a ball. Let's be honest. Christmas decorations are a fucking ball ache to put up, right? So they might as well stay up as long as possible. So I'm not taking them down again in 2 weeks' time. So I've put the tree up early. It looks all right, man. I'm quite happy with it. £24, B&Q, boom. That's what you want, innit? I would quite happily have one of those trees that is collapsible. So you can just put your hand down and it's got the decorations on and just pop up Christmas tree. That would be fucking ideal for me if I could do that all the time, every year. Anyway, what are we on? We're on 30 minutes, people. So that's it. I'm all ready for Christmas. I've done most of my Christmas shopping. I've got a couple of presents to buy and that's it. Isn't it? All at the start of December, people. Look at this. Procrastinating no longer. That is episode 245, people. I will be back on Tuesday. I hope you have a good rest of your weekend. I'm going to be watching the England game tonight. So I hope you have a good weekend. I hope England win tonight against Senegal. If you're listening from other countries who are hoping England lose tonight, go fuck yourselves. I shall be back on Tuesday, motherfuckers. Have a good rest of your weekend, and I'll speak to you then. Take care.